going to be a lesson this evening that I'll continue next Lord's Day evening, Lord willing, and make the conclusion. In our lesson this evening, I'm just going to take the introduction in point number one of the Old Testament stories. And then next week, I'll cover the five illustrations under point number two. You kind of blame Clarence again for this lesson. I like to blame him because it's so easy. But in his Wednesday night class, he was starting to mention a week or so ago about using our talents and abilities, and I was reminded of this Old Testament story of the rod of God in Moses' hand. So that's the title of the lesson, The Rod of God. It comes from that phrase is used in Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. As Moses took his wife and his sons, set them on a beast, returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Interesting phrase that I like because it rhymes. You know, the rod of God. Well, as I put in your notes, that rod of God resulted in something that happened earlier, and you really are familiar with the story, so I kind of hit some of the highlights. But as you know, God has called Moses to go to Egypt, to go before Pharaoh, and to ask Pharaoh to let my people go. And God has called Moses out of this burning bush that was burning, but it never burned up. But God has this conversation with Moses. You've been in this wilderness long enough, 40 years. Go back and ask Pharaoh, or tell Pharaoh, to let the people go to the promised land. Well, the first thing Moses does, as sometimes we would probably do many times when we're called upon to perform a task, we have our excuses already lined up. But Moses had excuses too. His first one was in Exodus 3, verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I?" When God says, "I want you to go back to Pharaoh," Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Well, and sometimes we feel that way. Who am I to stand before a group and teach a class? Or who am I to be the one that delivers the message? Me? You probably think I might be capable, but I know my frailties so much more than you do. And I think, who am I to tackle this task? But it doesn't matter, because to Moses, God said in verse 12, "Certainly I'll be with you." Who am I? Well, I'll be there. Doesn't it make it easier when you have somebody with you? You know, for many, many a task in life, we sometimes even say, will you go with me? I just want somebody there. It doesn't matter if you can help me or not. Just be there with me, will you? Well, that's what Moses said. Who am I? God said, I'll be with you on this task. Well, Moses decides that's not enough, so he has a second excuse. In Exodus 3, verse 13, Moses said to God, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' they'll say to me, 'What's his name?' What shall I say to them?" Well, God gives the answer. In verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thou shalt say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" The third excuse Moses offers is in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they'll not believe me. They won't hearken to my voice. They'll say, 'Oh, the Lord didn't appear to you.'" Well, in verse 8, God said, "It'll come to pass that they will not believe thee," or believe you, "nor hearken to the first sign." I'll get to these signs in a moment. "They'll believe the voice of the latter," or the second sign. Wow. So God, again, answers Moses' excuses. Then the fourth one, in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 4, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue." So the answer in verse 12, "Now therefore go, I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." So every time Moses came up with an excuse why he shouldn't obey the command of God to go back to Pharaoh, God had an answer for him. And I'm sure that there's an answer for you and for me many times when we're called upon to tackle a task for God's favor. But the lesson is what happens after this third excuse that Moses offers. After this third excuse, God convinces Moses that he's the one for the job, even though he had a fourth excuse given. But in Exodus 4, verse 2 is where this particular story begins. The Lord said to him, remember Moses has just said, they're going to say to me, you didn't appear to me. They're going to not believe me, they won't hear my voice. So now in Exodus 4, verse 2, Lord said to him, what is that in thy hand? He said, a rod. A rod. I put in your notes. You know what a rod is? Shepherd's rod? A staff? Shepherd's crook? Just an ordinary, common rod? Yeah. Every shepherd had one. It was something that Moses already had. That's all God is asking him to do. What do you have in your hand? I'm going to take what you have already. So chapter 4, verse 3, God said, cast it on the ground. He said, Moses, cast it on the ground. Now, that's an important statement. One of the most important things to happen in Moses' life is a simple act of obedience. God didn't tell Moses everything that was going to be presented to him in the future. Just start telling Moses, what do you have in your hand? A rod. Moses, cast it on the ground. That's it. That's all I want you to do right now. Just cast it on the ground. And see, too often we miss the big things because they appear to be little. We overlook the significance of maybe even the simplest task. There'll be plenty of big things later, as we're going to read in Moses' life. However, right now, Moses, this is all I want you to do. What do you have in your hand? Just cast it on the ground. Well, verse 3, the story continues, as you know. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. If I didn't put your nose, I would too. As soon as that became a snake on the ground, I'm gone. Even if it's just one snake, it doesn't have to be a cave full of them. Just one, that's all. Can be just a garden snake. I don't care. Even if somebody else is handling it, no, I don't want to touch it. It's a snake. So Moses fled. Get me out of here. But then the Lord said to Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. Oh, me. First one was kind of easy. Just cast it on the, cast your rod on the ground. Oh, I can, that's easy enough. I can do that. And then it became a serpent. I want you to take it by the tail. Well, okay. So he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. I think when you read this, that the reaction of Moses is typical of what probably would be our reaction when we're called upon to do something, especially a task we haven't performed before. A new one. But he obeys, and God accomplishes his purpose. Now, the other sign to go along with this, it wasn't just the one with the serpent, but that has to do with our lesson. But if you read in verse 3, that's where the rod becomes a serpent. In verse 6, to convince Moses that God is calling him and leading him, he has Moses put your hand in your bosom and take it out, because leprous, put it back in, it becomes whole. Then the third sign God just tells him about in verse 9, he says, when you get there, you put a little water on the dry land, and that water will become blood. That'll happen later. I keep this poster on my desk. The Define Fearless is from a publishing company for Bible class material. Define Fearless has three pictures. Fearless. Skydiving. Oh, yeah. Taming a lion.
Yeah.
Letting people ask questions in Sunday school. I hesitate when I'm teaching. Are there any questions? Whoa, you're fearless if you can do that. Well, that's what Moses. Well, he was afraid. But God answered every objection. The lesson is, and you can see it in your notes, God is asking us, what's that in your hand? What's that in your hand? Right here, many of us know what's in our hands. You know what you can do. You know what your talent is. I know some of your talents, but you may have something you haven't revealed yet, but you know you have it, or an ability. But you see, when we're called by God or by the gospel, we become Christians, God wants to put us in service. And immediately he's simply asking us, what's in your hand? What can you do? He's not asking us to do something that we're not capable of doing. He said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Rod, well, throw it on the ground. Well, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. He's just asking us to use what we have. Later, God says, well, you'll need my people. Need my people. And so, Christians, we are to identify what's in our hand and then use it. Put it into service. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, I don't have that one in your notes. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12 says, for if there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has, and not according to what he has not. So he says, what do you have in your hand? God, that's all that God is asking you to use. He's not asking you to use what's in somebody else's hand. Only what's in your hand. I use what's in my hand. Even though I can learn new tasks. In Romans 14, verse 12, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14, 12. So we're going to have to give account to God what's in our hand. Just use that. So then in your notes, I want you to notice, before the story of Moses is finished, the rod that's in his hand, which seems very ordinary, very common, they will, by the touch of God, accomplish many things. So here's the stories that I have listed for you. The first one, in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. God, Moses uses the rod to usher in the plagues. I'll just read it. I like to read. The story. I could just tell it to you, but let's read. Exodus 7, beginning of verse 14. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water. And you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod. Oh, wait, but we just heard about that rod, didn't we? Moses puts in your hand a rod. And the rod which was turned to a serpent, you shall take in your hand. You shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, till now you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in thy hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink. The Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, their rivers, the ponds, over their pools of water, that they may become blood. There shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. So Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Moses, what do you have in your hand? It was just a rod. But it was also in the hand of God. And that's the lesson. We use what we have, but with God's help, and we use it in his service, we can accomplish so many things. But another time that the rod is used is in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. This was when he parted the Red Sea. Here's the story. Beginning of verse 13. They're already left the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh's army is after them. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Interesting phrase. But Moses still has to do something, doesn't he? use the rod that's in his hand. But I want you to see, Moses, when you use that rod that's in your hand, what God is going to do for you. So here the verse continues in verse 13. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod. Ah, what do you have in your hand, Moses? Oh, I have the rod of God. Lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And in verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on the left. Wow. Moses, what do you have in your hand? I have the rod of God. Next time is in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, you're familiar with this one where Moses is urged to hit the rock to bring forth the water. So here it is, beginning of verse 3. People thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you brought us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I'll stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. You shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. So Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Wow. So Moses, what do you have in your hand? A rod. But it's the rod of God. The rod of God. The next time, still the same chapter, Exodus chapter 17. And this is when they had the victory over the Amalekites and Amalek. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Oh, the rod of God. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. Ah, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Oh, I have a rod. The rod of God. Then the next one, I put in your notes, this time Moses takes the rod of God and uses it on his own. And he's penalized for it. And again, you're familiar with this story. They're still on their journey in the wilderness wanderings, and again, they thirst. So here's the story. Moses does use what he has in his hands, but it wasn't according to God's plan. So verse 7 of Numbers, this time, different book, Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Yeah, that's right. God did say, take the rod. They didn't say hit the rock with the rod. said, just take the rod that you have. Use what's in your hand. Take it. So most people. But then in verse 10, so Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, Moses said, hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because they did not believe me, to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. God said, Moses, yeah, you take what's in your hand, you take the rod. But even though it's in your hand, I want you to speak. Speak to the rock. But Moses hit the rock. Of course, if you put in your notes, Moses has penalized for that. The penalty is found in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and this will conclude our lesson. Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. The Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, all the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea.
Wow.
The south, the plain of the valley of Jericho, city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you, meaning to Moses, to see it with your eyes, that you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. And then the story of Joshua. Wow. So the rod of God, that's the story this evening. God simply is asking you and me to use what is in our hand. Common shepherd staff. Everyone, every shepherd had one, Moses had one. Just take it and use it. But I will be with it. I will bless the effort. You use it with, in a way that doesn't bring God glory or just to God and their penalty. But the admonition is use what's in your hand. And that's the lesson next week. And we'll look at some of the things that are in other people's, have been in other people's hands. And I'm not sure I want all of those things. You can see those in the notes. The jawbone of a donkey and ox goat. Oh yeah, that's my talent. Five smooth stones, pitchers, torches, and trumpets, and two mics. Two lines. Just use what's in your hand. So next week, I'll give you five more Bible stories. Lord willing. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, again, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Whosoever will may come, if that's your desire to become a Christian this evening by being baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that while brethren, especially while brethren are here to rejoice with you in that decision. Well, ask brethren for strength or encouragement. We can do that too. We can certainly pray for one another on your behalf. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.